You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's
over. And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards. Today is Monday, November 8th, 2010. You are listening to us as a result of the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. The Defenders Live has been a production of that group since 2005. And if you want to learn more, please visit our website at defendersfje.org. You can also give us a call at 804-644-5834 or send us an email at defendersfje@hotmail.com. Well, it's a beautiful fall day. It is finally getting a little chilly out there, and I'm pleased to be able to bring you back for another in the series from the member nations of the African Community Network. And today's show is going to be about Liberia. And before I introduce our guests, I'm going to give you a couple of heads up on some of the things that have been going on. To bring you up to date, as always, on the burial ground, the struggle to reclaim Richmond's African burial ground. There is information that has been updated on the website that you can go to at defendersfje.org, but also there's a blog now, defendersfje.blogspot.com. And at either one of those sites, you can join the campaign to reclaim this burial ground by signing on to the petition. There's an email petition. There's a link there. It takes about 30 seconds when you go to the website. It is sponsored by change.org, and it allows you to send an email to President Rao. It copies the defenders. And so far, that campaign has generated more than 200 emails from across the country and internationally. So we are very pleased that we can continue to push that issue forward, not just from Richmond, but from around the globe. In addition, there is a petition there for demanding no war or sanctions against Iran. That link should also be right there on the front page. That one is sponsored by iPetitions.com. And there's more information there on the website. The next thing is mobilizing for an anti-war march and demonstration that will take place next spring, April 9th, Jobs Not War. Five defenders and friends participated in the November 6th regional meeting in New York City to plan massive anti-war protests on April 9th in New York and in San Francisco. These protests are to demand jobs, not war, and are being called by the United National Anti-War Committee, UNAC, which grew out of the big peace conference held this past July in Albany, New York. We were there as well, and we were able to talk about the need to oppose war and sanctions against Iran, which is the next country that is being targeted by the U.S. Foreign Policy Administration at this point. And we were also able to bring up the issue of the right of nations to self-determination and how important that is both to the people of Iran and the people of Richmond, Virginia, especially as we talk about Richmond's African burial ground. More information is available at nationalpeaceconference.org. And finally, the most critical of the announcements that I wanted to make today has to do with the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. There is a documentary that was produced by Johanna Fernandez, professor of U.S. history at Baruch College and a leader of educators for Mumia Abu-Jamal. This is directed by actually an Iranian filmmaker here in the United States. His name is Kuras Ismaili. His film company is BigNoiseFilms.org. We have obtained a copy of it, and it has been shown now twice in Richmond this week in anticipation of the tomorrow, hearing where Mumia's death sentence will be reviewed before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit Court. That will take place at 2 p.m. In the Central Market downtown district in Philadelphia. There's more information again on the website. And according to Mumia's attorney, Robert Bryan, at stake is whether Mumia will be executed or granted a new jury trial on the question of the death penalty. We believe at this point that he's really either facing the death penalty or life imprisonment without possibility of parole. So again, support for political prisoners like Mumia is a major focus of the education that comes out of this issue. So again, if you are interested in learning more, there's freemumia.org, I believe, is their website, but you can go to our website as well to get more information about that film, which can be loaned out here in Richmond for more screenings even after tomorrow. So call 644-5834 for more information about that. All right, I will move now to welcome our guests. And I'm extremely pleased to be able to welcome two members of the Liberian Association of Virginia. Our first guest is Levi Johnson, who is president of that association. Levi, welcome.
Thank you.
Very good. And our other guest today is Davidson Nagbe, and he is the Liberian Association of Virginia liaison. He works on outreach, and I was able to meet both of them, at least briefly, yesterday at the program at Virginia Union University. So welcome, Davidson.
Thank you for having me.
Great, great. Well, what we usually do for this program is to get a general introduction to the country that we're talking about today is Liberia. Most people in Virginia, I think at this point, have Liberia top of mind probably because of the visit of the president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who was elected in 2005 and it was the first female head of state to be elected, is the first president of the post-war period of Liberia. And I could tell from the response that she received by the Liberians here in Richmond that this was an important visit. It was felt very deeply.
Definitely so. We were so very happy to have her here visiting Richmond.
And your organization, in fact, issued her the invitation to come. Is that right?
Well, we issued her the invitation to attend the program on Sunday.
Right.
She actually came as the guest for the Richmond Forum to participate in the session on Saturday night. And it was in the process that we thought that would be appropriate for her to come and meet Liberians here in Richmond since we were already organized.
Right, and I think that was a key term that came up, is that you were an organized body in Richmond. I know that for me and for a lot of people in Richmond proper, the Liberian that we know well is Chef Mamoussou from Africana Maine, and it's one of the great diplomatic tools of the world is, you know, good food. And
she does.
And I believe she actually prepared the food through the Jefferson Hotel for the dinner for President Sirleaf. Yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah, so so I don't keep editorializing on our impressions of things. Why don't you, we'll start with you, Levi, and give us sort of a brief introduction to Liberia. Where is Liberia?
Liberia is located on the west coast of Africa, and as you already know the story of the founding of modern Liberia. I would say modern Liberia because Liberia was already established with its people on the land, were natives. And between 1822 and 1847, the American Colonization Society, that was formed basically between Virginia and D.C., thought that it would be a good thing to facilitate the transfer of free slaves back home, which they effectively did. When they went home, the form of government modeling that of the United States of America, and of course, you know the story, Joseph Jingle Roberts was the first president of the Republic of Liberia.
Right.
Liberia has a population of about 3.5 million people at this point in time, at least from the latest census.
Right. About the size of three Richmonds.
About that. We have social culturally run a dual culture system. One is the African traditional system, and that has to do with basic African practices, traditional practices. and the other is the one modeled after the folks from African Americans in the United States of America based on the way they live here. Mm-hmm. And so we run a dual culture system in Liberia. And that is quite interesting because that has definitely an influence on the way people live back home.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a dynamic that that most Americans would find confusing.
Very, very confusing. And for I take for example, my name is Levi Johnson, and folks say, "Oh, your name is Johnson. You come from Liberia. How dare your name be Johnson?" did you change your name when you came to the States? I said, no, you know, my parents on the father's side has a cultural roots in here, but my mother actually is the African traditional person.
Right.
We have a system, like I said, social culture system, dual social culture system, political system, that bought model of the kind of system here in the United States of America.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more, though, about the traditional people, the traditional, you know, the languages and the, like, your mother's people, for example. And
yeah.
I mean, because as you say, I mean, if we only talk about the modern Liberia, then we're only going to talk about from 1822 forward, and not the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well. For example, I come from the Bassa tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Nangwe comes from the Kru tribe.
Okay.
We wear African traditional clothes, more like what you saw yesterday at the service.
Yeah.
We eat traditional food. Man tribe, we eat the type of food regularly called Dumboy.
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 What is that?
It's something we pound in the mortar.
Yeah.
You know, it's cassava like. Roots we pound in the mortar and we swallow the dumbo. We don't chew it traditionally.
Swallow it whole.
We swallow it.
Yeah, it's like fufu. I don't know whether you've eaten fufu before. It's like fufu. Both of them were made, you know, through the same plant, which is cassava.
Yeah,
but It has different processes that you go through to do the fufu and the cassava and the dumboy.
Yeah.
The dumboy is practically fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you just need to boil the cassava and pound it.
Okay.
Where the fufu goes through
a cooking.
Yeah, but before they cooking, you're going to soak the fufu until it gets some kind of rotting. Fermented. Okay. Like fermented. That's the two processes, but it's from the same plant.
Yeah. Okay.
Fufu.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And we basically eat it with hand.
Yeah.
We don't use spoon.
I was in Mali and we ate with our hands.
That's a traditional way of doing things. Especially when it comes to the food.
Right.
The language we speak, the Bassa language.
Bassa.
Is completely different from what you've heard around here. Local language.
Right, sure.
And that's why we speak.
Okay. And are the Bassa from a particular region?
It's from the coast. It's from the southern coast of Liberia.
Okay.
And there is an interesting town in Grand Bassa called Edina City.
Okay.
And Edina City was actually founded by a group of slaves from Edinburgh.
No kidding. From Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Oh, from Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Scotland.
No, in the United States.
In the United States.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
In Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
And the town is Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So even in this Bassa, we have a dual culture running.
Right.
From Edina, like I told you, it's a settlement.
Right.
And
the Bassa region from Edinburgh, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania.
Now we turn the water, Mr. Davidson, to
I'm from the Kru tribe. It's the Kru tribe also from the coastal area.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, you read the history of Liberia, most of the settlers that went over there,
mm-hmm.
they settled at the coastal area. And my town that I was born in is Greenville, Sino County.
Greenville.
And most of the folks that founded Greenville came from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and interestingly, my name is Davidson Nangbe. People ask me why your name is Davidson, and my dad's name was Davidson Macaulay.
Uh huh.
Because he was raised by settlers. So because he was raised by the settlers, they changed his name.
Right.
So after college, he said, "Okay, I need to, you know, I use an African name."
Yeah.
That's how the Nangbe name. Okay.
So and was Nangbe was original family name.
The original
so
family
he
name.
He took it back.
He took it back.
Yeah.
And so that's the dynamics about Liberians in Liberia. And at that time, though, the indigenous people had to live with the settlers in order to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Progress in life. So most of them, they are educated indigenous people. They had to change their names.
Right. To go to the schools and stuff. Mm. It's very interesting. That would be a piece of that American culture. Assimilation requirements.
Assimilation. It's kind of interesting because when it's like slave masters in America.
Yeah.
You know, when the slave lived with the slave masters.
Yeah.
The slave master changed their name, the last name, and they automatically took the slave master's name.
Right,
which what that. And so it's quite interesting because when they went back home, the free black slaves kind of took with them some of the same attitude that the slave master imposed on them here.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing. So, and that's why the Civil War in Liberia developed.
Yeah.
That's why the coup of 1980 developed because of the same social disparity which he just alluded to just a while ago. You had to live with the quote-unquote descendants of free slaves in order to go to school. Natives were not given the opportunity to vote until the Tatma era.
Uh-huh.
Same thing that happened here. Black were not given the opportunity to vote until the 60s, sometimes early 60s.
Yeah.
And so the murder after the slave masters.
Right.
So that was the key, the foundation for the Civil War.
Sure.
And prior to that, the coup in 1980. And then subsequent to that, the Civil War crisis.
Yeah.
Because one group of people thought that were disenfranchised and being overlooked.
Sure. And I mean, so that's the story, you know, there. And so I think for most people and for most black people in the United States, especially as they have looked to Africa as sort of a beacon for, you know, how good things used to be before this, you know, it's a very simplified view in a way, but looking with a very idealized eye towards Africa to then understand that, you know, that when they could get away from the United States, they brought the worst of that piece of what happened to them with them and imposed it on, you know, their ancestors or, you know, the relations of their ancestry. And of course, they didn't all come from those places either. So even a couple generations removed, they might have come from different areas in Africa.
Definitely.
To come there. So it's real. I mean, it's a lot for Americans to wrap their brains around.
Exactly so. And when they went back to West Africa, they saw that Sierra Leone was already occupied by the British.
Mm-hmm.
And Davidson just mentioned just a while ago,
mm-hmm.
Guinea was already occupied by the French.
Right.
Cote d'Ivoire was already occupied by the French.
Right.
So they had nowhere to go. What happened? They went dark in a little island near Sierra Leone called Shebro Island.
Okay.
And it was through, they used that as a launching pad to negotiate land and other different possibilities in Liberia with the natives.
Right.
So they may have not come from Liberia to come to the States, but they found Liberia as an exclusively free land that was not occupied by any other
superpower.
By any
other country, right. Mm. Now, one of the other historical figures for Richmond involved with Liberia was Lot Carey.
Definitely so, yeah.
You want to talk about Lot Carey?
Yeah, Lot Carey was a missionary that went, or I can't remember which expedition of slaves that he went with, but he played a critical role in the formation of Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
If in education, in fact, educationally, one of the high level schools in Liberia is was founded by Lakere, which is called the Lakere Mission,
mm-hmm.
and it has a very strong educational program that it is running in Liberia.
Yeah, and we for a little while I was working with a gentleman who was part of the Lotkerry Mission Board here, yeah. and I think just a couple of years ago they had their international conference here,
yes, yeah.
in Richmond,
yes.
And I was given a book at that point, so that was the first book that I read, really about sort of, which was pretty good I thought, because it was a good collection of essays that talked about the historical piece as well as how that mission organization is attempting to deal with and really face head on the challenges that were brought by, you know,
yeah.
by their antecedents, over, you know, to the problems in Liberia. So,
yeah, another prominent slave that went over there was Bai Timor.
Bai Timor.
Yeah. Hey guys, he is a graduate of Virginia Union also.
Gotta love Virginia. Yes.
And He played a critical role, too, a very important role in the formation of education in Liberia.
What years was that? Because if you're talking about, he's a graduate of Virginia Union.
He graduated in 1937.
37, okay.
He graduated in 1937 from Virginia Union University. Okay. He majored in biology.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite interesting that he mentioned Baltimore, because when we started the arrangement for the hosting of the president at the Virginia Union University, and we had preliminary meetings with the administration there.
Yeah.
The historian of Virginia Union University mentioned Baltimore, and he brought the books that Baltimore wrote.
Ah, okay.
And it was quite interesting, because that showed a direct link between Virginia Union University and the Republic of Liberia, and how Virginia Union University had been in the business of helping a lot of Liberians, including him.
Okay.
With numerous scholarships, programs.
Okay.
And including Baltimore, who, interestingly, studied biology but didn't practice biology in Liberia.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
He studied biology, and he can attest to it. He became a writer and a historian.
Okay.
And an educator.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and he was a minister of information, cultural affairs, and tourism.
Yeah.
Either that or he was a deputy minister, one of the ministers. But he contributed immensely to the cultural development of Liberia.
Right. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, and I came in contact with, I got to know Bai Timor's son, you know, the wife to Bai Timor, Jean, you know, in Liberia. And she currently lives in Liberia.
She's still living?
And she still lives there, on the old road.
Okay.
We call.
So we have to... Some of the things that you're talking about, I'd like to be able to make more available to people. You know, if you can tell us where people can learn more, or recommend books, or reading, or do you have a website or a vehicle for getting information to people?
We are trying to develop a website. However, yeah. You can go to AfricaNetworkVA.com.
AfricaNetwork.
VA.com.
Okay.
We sort of boring that website for now. and that website is being developed by one of our information guy.
Okay.
Who's in charge of publicity.
Okay, great.
Mr. Julius Brown.
Julius Brown?
Julius Brown. He manages our website.
Okay.
And he manages that private website, but
he puts
a lot of information on that for us. We are in the process, as you know, like I told you, we have been developing from one stage to another. And
right. This
is a stage where we definitely, in the next couple of weeks, going to be developing our own website, and we're going to give folks the information on that website.
Okay, good.
By this point in time, if you go to
AfricaNetworkVA.com,
you will get some information on LABA and, of course, Liberia.
Okay, good. Because I'm getting the signal that we're down to our last, 4 minutes now. So I told you, it starts running away at a certain point. But so I wanted to ask you, was there anything in particular that you thought you'd want to let people know about?
Well, presently we're trying to announce ourselves in, in a greater, world organization that we have organization that is called Lava Librarian Organization in Richmond. We are looking for a partnership and to partner with various organizations or companies. And most specifically in education and social welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And we look for partnership in those areas.
And I heard you mentioned during the program, too, that one of your major focuses is the development of tourism partnerships, and specifically in relationship to Petersburg and down to Norfolk and that region. So.
We also look in towards that end because I'll tell you that most Liberians, in fact, do not know much about Liberia because Liberia is very complex and some of the problems that we face is we have identity crisis. And most Liberians don't take themselves to be Liberians. They want to be Americans than Liberians. So we're trying to go out, reach out, talk to Liberians, say, come on, we have an organization, you need to come in, you need to learn more about Liberia.
Yeah.
As well as other friends of Liberians to tell them what Liberia is all about.
Right. Okay. I'm going to remind people that the website for the present is africanetworkva.com to learn more about the Liberian Association of Virginia and to follow the progress of the organization as it finds its own website and gets its stuff out there. You want
to definitely. So we are beginning to learn that in addition to J.J. Roberts, we call him Joseph Jenkins Roberts. We are beginning to learn, and you were in the program yesterday, you saw that in the center of another president was there.
Mm-hmm. James Springsteen.
Ah, I didn't hear that.
Yes. He's about 103 years old. He was in the program. He attended the program yesterday, and the president
Dr.
had
Dr. Carter. Was it Dr. Carter?
I'm not sure. It could be Dr. Carter.
Okay, but the oldest alumni of Virginia Union.
That's Dr. Carter. That's him.
Yes.
And so we are all out there looking for folks, looking for where we can connect Virginia's.
It's the genealogy again. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So and we want to facilitate that process. And I mentioned to the president, I had a meeting with the president on Saturday night.
Okay.
And I mentioned to her that we want to take Virginia to Liberia.
Yeah.
And the tourist industry is going to be a significant part of this whole process.
Right.
And so I want to use the media and this medium.
Yes.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity.
You bet. And there I'm getting the big T. Mm-hmm. I want to thank both of you, Levi Johnson, president of the Liberian Association of Virginia, Davidson Nagbe, who's liaison for LAVA, and really thank you very much for some really quite remarkable insights. And so I look forward to the second phase of these interviews where we can sort of maybe zoom in on a couple of topics. And,
you're probably going to be a regular visitor.
Yeah, so. Good. Yeah, this Defenders Live could easily become, Defenders Live Africa forever. So I want to thank you very much for joining us and thank everyone for tuning in. We will be back next week and we'll bring you more of what's going on in Richmond. Thanks for being in the struggle and we will talk to you next week.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.